She can hear us. She can smell us.
Good morning, Vietnam!
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Film and Everything Podcast.
What's going on, guys? The Film and Everything Podcast. Welcome back for another episode. Main things I wanted to just get into right away was the announcement of the Snyder Cut. That was the main thing. I really wanted to talk about that with you guys because it's actually happening. It's a real thing. It's not... And I love it because, you know, all the haters right now don't know what to say. You know, everybody that was saying, oh, it's not real. The Snyder Cut is not real. You guys are just, you know, you're in this la-la land, blah, blah, blah. All the things that everybody on Twitter was saying towards the fans. And Zack Snyder did that Man of Steel stream, Q&A stream with fans, I believe. And it was really awesome. We actually saw it. We were watching. We didn't see his stream with the movie, but we saw, like, maybe the last 20 minutes or so, and we actually got to see the announcement live, which was really awesome. And Henry Cavill was in it, right? And then Henry Cavill kind of baited him into the, oh, I feel like you should just
show it,
you know. And he's like, oh, well, I have this little thing, you know. And then he,
you know, because it's still a little bit to do, but I mean, there is this. I have this. I don't know if this is helpful. See that?
Oh my god.
It was really, it was pretty awesome. It was honestly, like, really cool. And so that was you know, all over the internet. It broke the internet because, man, these fans, and I gotta say, like, All these same haters that were saying that it wasn't real, now they're going around saying this is not good for fandom because it's gonna give toxic fans this entitlement.
It's gonna ruin, like, Hollywood.
It's gonna gonna ruin fandom. It's gonna bring this toxic. It's condoning, like, this toxic entitlement in fans or something.
Well,
like,
wasn't
that.
Wasn't really toxic.
That's so stupid. This to me is a huge win. Because I'll tell you what, man, these fans were... It's going to make 3 years this year, and these fans have been going at it. I mean, going at it on, you know, contributing to do billboards on Times Square, airplanes with the little flag on saying, release the Snyder Cut. They've been doing everything that they can to get this thing out there somehow. And it got to the ears of the executives, and the executives listened. And what they're saying, the news that's going around now is that, yeah, they called Zack Snyder. And they wanted to ask him about what's going on. And
they wanted to see if it was actually real.
Yeah, and our last episode, we did talk about this private screening that Zack Snyder did for the executives at Warner Bros. And it seems like it's true. They called him. They wanted to, I guess, discuss things and try to figure out how much they can do here. And it's going to be released on HBO Max, which, what we talked about last episode, it makes perfect sense. This is a huge, before we get into anything else, this is a huge win for the fans. I don't care what these haters say, that these people that are upset. Now you have the director of the Ghostbusters reboot saying, oh, well, I have a cut that's 3 hours. Of that reboot of Ghostbusters that just bombed.
Yeah, but that's terrible.
David Ayer is talking about his Joker with Jared Leto, how he has a cut as well, and everybody's like, yeah, that's not going to happen. It's not how this works. Because those movies, at the end of the day, were their vision.
That was their vision. Fault. That's just your fault.
If you wanted to cut out Joker, that was your fault. Ghostbusters,
that was just your
abomination. Your movie was bad anyway. Yeah. If there's a three-hour cut, I don't think that's going to help you. This is an actual cut that's so different from the original version of the shit show that we got of Justice League when it came out 2 years ago. It wasn't his vision at all. The cinematographer cried when he saw it because he felt so bad for Zack Snyder.
Like the mustache thing.
Everything was just a mess. There's literally another version of this movie out there, and Zack Snyder has it. And, you know, I think this is a huge win for the fans because they really did. I mean, that's just a lot of support for Zack Snyder. You know, and Zack Snyder, I'm happy for him that he's going to, at least, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whatever it is.
It could be really shitty.
Whatever it is. But as long as he gets his chance to show his vision of how he wanted the story to play out. Because you know what? He did Man of Steel. He did Batman v Superman. And you know what? At least we get to see what he wanted to do with Justice League. Because people think, oh, why would I want to see a longer version of what this movie was? And it's not that. This is a whole different story.
Yeah.
They completely changed the story in this. And he's been releasing pictures, concept arts. And he says it like... in the article, he said that 1/4 of what you see in the Justice League movie is his. 1/4 of what we saw in theaters.
It's nothing.
Which is nothing. And, you know, I have here what they were... They're giving... And this is where I was shocked by that. We were actually, like, wrong about... I didn't think Warner Bros. Was going to invest any more money into this. I thought they were just going to release it. But they're giving him
20
to $30 million to score the film, edit it.
Add new and fix adding, visual effects.
Yeah, fixing and adding new visual effects. And there's rumor of some sort of photography in there, principal photography, some sort of... But I don't think that's true.
No, because Ben Affleck, I don't think he wants to go
They're not going to get anyone back. But what it's saying here is re-editing the film, scoring new music. That's to show you how different this movie is, that all this needs to be completely redone. Music, editing, adding and new... visual effects and finishing whatever he had left, around $20 to $30 million. So they're actually investing into this, and it's a smart move for Warner Brothers, because now that's going to be the big thing for HBO Max. People are going to want to go. This thing is supposedly, they're saying, 4 hours long, could be longer. So they're between releasing it the 4 hour cut or. Splitting it into six episodes, I think that's a bad move. Doing it in episodic form.
It's going to ruin the flow.
Because what if the first two episodes aren't that great? People are going to start hating. You know, shows just... It's very... If something's meant to be a movie, release it as a movie, you know?
Yeah, I really hope it's a movie format, because show... it won't work.
You don't want to make these fans that have been waiting for years already, fighting for this thing, to wait... and watch whatever the case, maybe 30-minute episodes every week. That's I get why the company would do that from a business perspective. It keeps the subscribers longer.
We've been waiting long enough.
But it's not fair, you know. It's very interesting.
A movie would just be better because you see the whole flow
that's
of
it.
The film.
Yeah, because if you know how episodes work. Because
the show is different because, you know, the first two could be a little rough.
And then people are going to start hating on it.
And then,
it's better just to watch it all at once. This thing has been going around for too long.
We sat through The Irishman. I can sit through the...
Yeah, The Irishman's 3.5 hours long, you know. But again...
And that's just dialogue. There's not really action in it.
Yeah.
With Justice League, there's going to be action, so you kind of like, this breaks.
I'm surprised. They're giving him money for VFX, everything.
Yeah,
they're letting him finish.
Because people thought they were doing reshoots. They're not doing reshoots.
No, there's no way. Ben Affleck wouldn't come back.
But there'll be more money because you have to pay Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
Then
that's,
you have to pay
that's
Ben
production.
Affleck.
That's sets. That's no. That's not, that's definitely not going to happen.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. That's had 20
He was
million.
Already pretty much done.
Yeah.
And then, so Joss Whedon came
in. Oh, no, I think they're
in.
Coming in to record dialogue.
Yeah, that's what they're... Yeah, to record dialogue. Some actors are coming... So that's not a big deal.
Which I don't know how that works, but...
They just over some CG stuff maybe, or, you know, minor stuff. And, you know, whether this is good or bad or not, I'm just glad that
at least we're getting
he's going to be able to at least show his vision of what he wanted. Because that sucks. That sucks. Supposedly he said that he never saw the final movie. He didn't see the Justice League that we saw. He refused to see it. I don't blame him.
Because
it's so different. It's so different. And, you know, I'm glad that he at least gets a chance to show his
vision. That's the thing everyone hates about. Oh, why does he get a second chance? Because
it's not a second chance. They screwed him over. I'm really happy for him. I'll tell you what. The fans, they were persistent, man. When people were saying, no, it's not real, this is bullshit, kept on.
And for this cut that they're doing, there's going to be no CGI Superman face. The mustache.
Yeah. Now the thing is... What now? You know, when it comes out.
I have a feeling that they're doing this, and I think something happens with Superman in that movie that's going to want to bring Henry Cavill back.
Because let's say
thing.
This is where it gets tricky. Yeah, because Henry Cavill, he can keep being Superman.
And
I think
he
is.
He wants to come back.
Because he showed up on that live stream. he was part of the announcement. He wouldn't do that if he knew he wasn't coming back. I think they started having some meetings.
He wants
Zack Snyder, Henry Cavill, and I think he's going to come back as Superman. Because we would love to see him and Shazam, Black Adam when The Rock comes in. That's a great... And I think he wouldn't do this if he knew he wasn't coming back. He'll be like, F you guys, I'm done. So I think he is going to come back. Now, what happens if Justice League, this movie...
If it sucks.
No. If it sucks, you know that they're... Okay, well, we gave it to you guys. But if it's good, if fans like it, if people... It's a hit, let's say. What now? You're not going to continue that version. Because you already have Robert Pattinson playing Batman now. That's coming out next year.
They have, luckily, Flash... So he can mess with that type of stuff.
But he's going to have to be recasted.
Yeah, which is fine.
He got accused. There's video of him choking a woman. So that's not going to work out well for him.
Yeah.
Especially. But with Batman, you know Ben Affleck's not coming back. There's already a new Batman. You're not going to have two Batmans. And Superman, we can bring back. Everybody else is fine. But I don't think they're going to continue this. I think this is just like that.
We have to wait and see what
this is. A big help for HBO Max. I think they're looking at it as, look, there's clearly people who want to see this. Let's just give them this. But now it's, how far does this go? What if it is great? What is Warner Brothers going to want to... Now they're stuck because what if it's great? And now they're like, shit, what do we... We can't continue this. This is done. They could...
Well, because Shazam does mention both of them.
But there's no more Batman. Like, we have... That's it. Like, there's no chance of bringing back Ben Affleck because you just did a... There's a whole new Batman movie coming out now. They kind of... They jumped on that now. So... And you're not going to have two Batmans. There's just no way. So that's where I'm kind of, you know... That's what I'm interested to see on what happens here. But I'm, you know... I'm all for the Snyder Cut. I'm glad it's happening. He deserves that because, God, the movie was terrible. And for all those people hating, and because there are people hating for whatever the reason, they're just not happy that this is happening, and they're like, "Oh, toxic fans, the entitlements." Like, dude, these are just passionate fans for Zack Snyder.
But you know what's funny?
And it's weird how they knew, like, this is not his version. And you know, it started becoming more obvious when he stepped down. Joss Whedon came in, and when you watch the movie, it just looks incomplete. Mustache scenario. A lot of scenes in that movie, the CG, the green screen is so obvious.
He tried to make it more Avengers-like.
And it was rushed. They're like, fuck, we got to do some... And it's a whole different movie. It's a whole different movie.
Like, you can tell, not like, fair. Like, with the color palettes. Like it looks weird. Like, it just looks...
Everything, you know? And
I think the big... was the cyborg actor.
He was cut out completely. He actually has a really big role in... Justice League, and it's like a 4-hour cut, you know what I mean? So that's why it's a big win, because now, yeah, Cyborg gets that chance, because a lot of people, he had nothing to do, he was just there, you know, we get to see it more. It's just his original vision.
You're gonna see the black Superman outfit.
Yeah, that's the thing. He has a whole other thing. There's a whole different story here, you know. And I am happy, you know, the fans, they did it. It's crazy how...
I don't care if it sucks or if it's great. At least...
This all started from...
We got to see it.
It all started from a hashtag. It started with a hashtag. Just release the Snyder Cut. And yes, there's people back and forth. Well, if they have to give them money, then technically it's not really complete. There is no Snyder...
With the Jeremy Jans. Yeah. Perfect. That was so perfect.
If they have to finish it, then that doesn't mean that it's technically real. And it's like, no, it's real. It just needs to be finished. It's just like this back and forth. It's like, dude, it's clearly there. It's done filming. Obviously, they cut it midway. They cut it during post-production when Zack Snyder stepped out. And that's not cool, because when he stepped out, you know, he had a family tragedy and everything. He stepped out and they completely butchered his vision. Whether that vision would have been good or bad, we don't know. There was reports saying that he learned from Batman v Superman, and they were actually applying from what the fans were saying about the criticism of Batman v Superman, how it was too dark, too serious, and he was trying to make it...
Keep it dark, but also more like...
He was adding... He got those criticisms, and he was applying it to Justice League. And just... I'm glad that we get to see that chance for him, you know? And so, Warner Bros., I'm really happy. I'm really happy. Good job to the fans. Man, they really... And you know what? Just literally enjoy it. Let the hate, because dude, the haters are mad. They're like, oh, whoa, the toxic fan. You can't compare these type of fans, like passionate fans, who don't attack anyone. They just knew this is not Zack Snyder's version. He deserves his version. They're not Last Jedi fans yelling at original and prequel fans saying, oh, you're just not a true Star Wars fan. You don't get it, you know? They're not attacking anyone. They're just saying, we know that this is not his version. That's not toxic. That's just passionate fandom.
But yet, when studios don't listen to fans, we get Terminator Dark Fate.
Yeah.
We get Charlie's Angels. We get, what was the other one? Ghostbusters.
There's a lot of movies where fans are like, why? A perfect example, and this is not even toxic fandom, it's just fans expressing their feelings about what they see. Sonic, the Sonic movie.
Sonic actually worked.
Fans hated the trailer. They're like, what is this? This isn't what Sonic is. And they were right. This is not who Sonic is. What did the studio do? And the director said, hey, I apologize. We're going to fix this up for you. We're going to push the movie back. They released a new trailer.
And
with
the
his
movie
whole
was
new
actually
look,
better.
And we loved the movie. We saw it.
Yeah, it was actually good.
And it got great. It made a lot of money. I think it was one of the top gaming movies to come out.
Yeah, it passed Pikachu.
Fans loved it. If the studio wanted to be like, oh, toxic fans because we don't have to listen to you, that movie would have flopped. Nobody was going to see it. And fans actually were really happy of the fact that they listened to them. And they're like, you know what?
Yeah,
we're going to give this movie
I
a chance
think, wasn't
now.
Wasn't it? Like Sega or something, mm-hmm. they told, hey, like, what is this? This is not Sonic. What
yeah.
is it? Man, that was not Sonic.
It wasn't.
Like the kid
it
from
was a mutant. It
Jumanji.
Was a mutant. Yeah, it was a mutant. And what happened? The fans were like, you know what? You listen to us. You understand our criticisms. We're going to go check out the movie. We want to see, you know, we want to give it a chance. And people did. People liked it and it worked. If they didn't listen to the fans, what would have happened? It would
have
flopped.
You have to just stay true to what it is.
You know, and that's what's going on with a lot of things. With a lot of things. When fans... Star Wars is a big one. Star Wars is in this... Warner Brothers is in a good step right now with DC. Because they're listening to fans.
Yeah, they're trying to fix it.
Wonder Woman is working. Their movies are working now. Joker, they let the creatives just have creative freedom. And it brought them $1 billion profit. They're listening to fans more. This is something... that works. It's good, you know, and I'm really happy for the Snyder Cut, for Zack Snyder and all the fans. They did great, and it applies to anything. The fandom right now, these people are it's
like, why is this all starting now with toxic fandom? I don't understand. Like, oh, sorry that we care about something so much that we don't like.
And the
what
studios
you're doing.
Right now are they're just like, what are you doing? There's a lot of times where it's just look at Star Wars. Star Wars right now is
thing.
In such a limbo.
We were watching those people rant about Star Wars. You remember? Dude, that guy was crying.
There's fans crying about how bad
ruining.
These movies were. You know? And yes, there's toxic fans. There's fans sending death threats.
There's
always those extremes. And that's been around since the prequels. We understand that. But man, right now... It's so dumb and ignorant to just be like, well, you don't like the movie because you're this, that, and that, and you're just toxic fans. To say, for the fans to react, hey, this isn't what Star Wars is, you know? Look at Last Jedi. How many fans were like, this is not right? And what did Rian Johnson do? He was just like, no, you guys just don't understand it. This is just too above you, you know?
Did you say that?
That's basically what he was implying, because he would just send pictures of him with Star Wars books. Like, yeah, like, I understand Star Wars. Like, he was implying that he understands it more than anyone else. And that's why everybody made such a big deal when Dave Filoni came out. And he literally explained all of Star Wars, with starting from Phantom Menace to Episode 6.
That was his rant.
And he blew everyone away.
You kind
of ranted. And there was no sense of condescending tone or ego. It was just him being a Star Wars fan. Because Rian Johnson, all he has is ego. He thinks he knows more than everyone else. And Dave Filoni is just like, hey... I'm a fan just like you guys. This is what George Lucas has taught me. There's a difference there. And that's why Rian Johnson's out and Dave Filoni's going to, I think, be on top. And I feel like it's going to happen because Kathleen Kennedy clearly doesn't know what she's doing.
Well,
it's clear. Look at the sequel movies.
Well, you saw, George Lucas, that the tech that they're using for The Mandalorian.
He's been wanting
to use it for his own TV shows when he was in charge. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of them, like they're kind of doing what George Lucas always wanted, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, they're like Jon Favreau and
Dave. Yeah, you know, and nothing wrong with that, man. I understand it's not cool to be attack actors.
No, but it's not the actor's fault. I mean,
yeah, never attack actors. You can hate the character, whatever character you want.
Yeah, but they're just reading.
But to send death threats, attack actors, they're getting a paycheck. They're in a Star Wars movie.
If it's like what Mark Hamill said, if I'm great in the movie, it's because of Ryan. If I'm terrible in the movie, it's because of Ryan.
Exactly. So,
and it's kind of like Rian Johnson wanted that for Rose. He wanted her to do and say all those things.
Yeah, and
He.
But just the characters in general, you know,
and Star Wars is such a limbo. They're saying, like, look at what they did to Finn. Like, it was someone tweeted, like, Finn got so, like, John Boyega got screwed over so bad.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, Force Awakens, he was going to be a Jedi. Because he was actually doing pretty well, the lightsaber in Force Awakens.
Yeah. And,
like, he was actually, like he was at the blocks a few shots. Like, he looked pretty cool with it. And that would be a cool story, a stormtrooper turning into a Jedi.
And this is where I, you know, get frustrated. It's just all a mess. But these sequel movies were obviously whoever was in charge, which was Kathleen Kennedy. There was no oversight. I don't know what she was thinking. There was clearly
no vision.
There was no overall vision for these three movies. That's clear. And I think it all got shitted on when Rian Johnson did Last Jedi and Kathleen Kennedy didn't listen to Mark Hamill, didn't analyze what he was doing, and didn't respect JJ with Force Awakens. Because you know what? At the end of the day, The Force Awakens overall left fans excited for what's to come. JJ, and this is confirmed from Daisy Ridley, Simon Pegg, all the cast members who actually wanted to speak out. J.J. Abrams, and everybody wants to say, oh, J.J. just didn't know what he was doing. He started all this. He had an outline. Look it up. There's reports from Daisy Ridley, Simon Pegg, Finn, John Boyega. There's sometimes that he mentions about Last Jedi. He's like, yeah, I thought I was going one way in this story, and then Last Jedi, it just took me a whole different way. And J.J. had an outline for the three films. He had an outline. Colin Trevorrow has been working on Episode 9 since 2015, which was Force Awakens. So he clearly understood, okay, I have an idea of what's going on. What happened? Force Awakens was written by J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan, who was the original writer for, I believe, Empire, or one of the original Star Wars movies.
Or is it Return?
One of those. It might have been Empire. So he had someone there. Why was Last Jedi solely written by Rian Johnson? Kathleen Kennedy, knowing if she must have known this, knowing J.J. Abrams had an outline, because he
couldn't call it Trevorrow. Because what happened was Solo. They fired them when the movie was about to be done. Like 90% of the movie was about to be finished, and then that's when she wants to fire them.
And
which doesn't make sense, because, okay, so you're not watching the footage? You're not saying, okay, wait a minute, why is this movie acting like this weird way?
And this is why it's
her fault. You fired the two, what are their names?
Phil Lord and Chris Miller.
Yeah, you fired them when the movie's 90% complete.
Yep.
That's when you want to fire them, and then you bring Ron Howard. The guy had to reshoot, like, what was it, like, half the movie.
And he actually did well.
But that should show you, how do you not notice these things?
And that's the thing.
90% of the movie. Jesus Christ.
You have Rian Johnson writing it by himself. J.J. Abrams showed him, because there's reports, it's online, telling him what he wanted to do with this story. And Rian Johnson, in any single way that he could, whether it was through subtext in the film, throwing the lightsaber away, there were so many little subliminal things in that movie that show, hey, I'm throwing this in the trash. I'm breaking this. It's just so deliberate. It's so obvious. And from what he was saying in all the articles,
well, just watch the making.
And it's just, it's there. And so you're telling me you're Kathleen Kennedy. You are overseeing all this, and you're reading that script. You see that Mark Hamill's not happy with it, and you're thinking, oh yeah, I like this. Rian Johnson's great. Go ahead. Here's the green light. Go do this movie.
Here's a...
And then...
Budget of who knows how much.
Knowing that it's completely breaking what JJ hadn't planned, and then Colin Trevorrow had to adapt, and he had to write a version, which I thought he did really well, of following Last Jedi, but also honoring Star Wars of what it is, that he gets fired. Then they bring back JJ, and at this point, JJ is just... there's no doubt in my mind. They told him, dude, like, let's just figure this out. What do we got to do? And JJ, you can see it in his face. We saw the documentary on Rise of Skywalker. We've seen interviews. His face says it all. He just looks like, I'm here to just do damage control. I know what's going to happen. I'm going to do my best. You compare his excitement from Rise of Skywalker to Force Awakens, it's two different things. And that's all on Kathleen Kennedy. It's so disappointing. And then you can't be mad at fans for seeing this, siding with Mark Hamill, because even Mark Hamill was extremely vocal about this. That's not toxic fans. That's just fans that actually know what Star Wars is.
I mean, even the Darth Maul actor.
All these actors have come out.
I remember, like, when John Boyega came out, and then like, it was like Daisy Ridley, like saying, "Oh yeah," when the first day was set, everyone was kind of like confused, what was happening, like, on set, because it was just like, because they're all reading the script and we're all kind of like.
And I love what Sam Witwer said on his stream about Last Jedi. He's like, "Hey, I like Rian Johnson, but that movie felt to me like if it was done by someone who doesn't understand Star Wars, that didn't do their homework." And he said, you can't break the rules of something.
No, you can't reinvent. Is that what he said?
You can't reinvent or break the rules about something without actually knowing the rules first. And that's what Rian Johnson tried to do. And, you know, it is what it is.
Whatever.
But you can't just attack fans for knowing what's wrong here. And Kathleen Kennedy, it's on her, man. It's on her because she could have been like, hey, Rian. But she just fell in so much in love with what Rian Johnson was doing with that movie. Because clearly they had the same mindset with Star Wars.
And look at what that we're watching that making of Last Jedi. And his little butt buddy that he had.
His producer. Yeah,
that producer guy. Dude, that guy, what he said to Mark Hamill pissed me the fuck off. Oh, you're not Luke. You're Obi-Wan. Dude, he called him Obi-Wan.
Yeah, and the way he said it, too. It wasn't just like, he was like, oh, because, you know, Mark Hamill thought Luke was going to come and be this big. And he's like, but he needs to understand that. He's not Luke in this story. He's Obi-Wan. And it's like, and even then, Obi-Wan was treated better.
Dude, the way he said it, I was like, wow. I was like, that was your mindset into that movie.
And clearly, Kathleen Kennedy was fine with that. She liked the idea of that, and that's just not cool, man. And you know, this whole thing now with toxic fandom, Henry Cavill has come out defending the fans, and you know, people who understand.
You saw the thing I sent you, that blue check mark dude?
Yeah.
And because he was like, if I get casted in a movie, I was like some actor, I don't even know who he was. If I get casted in a movie, then the fans will just be toxic enough, and then I get recasted with someone better.
It's like, it's not...
That's not the way
how this works. Yeah, it's so stupid. And
it's not the way it is.
It is what it is, man. You know? And Star Wars right now, I do think Dave Filoni's going to... He's going to take over. Clone Wars was a huge hit. People loved it. Mandalorian's a hit. And clearly from what's coming out, and who's coming in Mandalorian season 2, it's going to be huge. And Kathleen Kennedy, there's no more Star Wars movies coming for a while.
Thank God.
So, and I think very quietly, Lucasfilm, Disney, they know what's going on. And I think they're going to, she needs to go.
Whatever, at least forget. Don't always listen to fans.
Yeah, you can't just cater to fans. I understand that. Yeah, but you got to be willing to be self-aware and understand what's going on. And I think that's what Lucasfilm needs. Warner Brothers learned the hard way. They're like, man, hold on. Let's take a step back here. And they're doing well. Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Shazam. They're learning from their mistakes. They're listening to criticisms. With Justice League, they're like, you know what? We did just kind of like butcher that vision. The fans really want this. Let's just give it to them. We'll make some money on HBO Max. It'll be fine.
Hopefully it's a movie.
You know? So
Because we saw the Batman vs Superman cut, the extended cut. I mean, it's still bad. The movie's still bad, but it makes it better.
We saw the Batman v Superman Ultimate Edition, so it was like 3 hours long, and it was a real 3 hours long. Like, it was 2 hours and 55 minutes, and then credits.
Yeah.
And it does make the movie a lot more coherent with the story. Yeah. Like, you do understand the story.
Like, it builds it up a little better.
It does have issues, you know, Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, he I don't get
the character. You don't really buy into why Batman and the whole Martha, that thing was kind of like, ah.
Martha! Yeah. I don't know her name!
And the movie, I think, was missing something. I think it did need a little bit more.
Doomsday, I don't know why he was in it.
It was too much. It was too much in one movie. And I felt it. It was 3 hours long, and I still felt like, man, like, this is like... There's sometimes in the movie I was kind of like, where is this going to go? Like, I understand the story, but it was just too much in one movie, you know?
Because you're doing a backstory on Batman, then he bringing Wonder Woman, then you got to do, like, Superman.
Lex Luthor setting up Doomsday.
Which I don't know why they killed Doomsday. Like,
they just wanted to go all out quick. And I don't know if that's the studio or Zack Snyder or both. And, you know, but the Ultimate Edition does make the movie better.
What would you give it a rating?
Like a 7. Maybe.
Yeah.
Like a 7 or maybe like a 6. I don't know. It's between there. Just because there's not a lot of, like, the action just kind of just there, you know?
Yeah.
Except the warehouse scene with...
That was a really cool
Batman because
fight.
Even the Batman v Superman fight, I was like, but why isn't he just telling him? Like, I didn't believe it. I didn't believe that they had to fight, you know? The stakes weren't there. Because I was like, but he can just tell him what's going on, but why did he give up so early? As opposed to, like, Civil War, where you start feeling that tension to where it gets to that point where they're just, you know. So, a lot of little things like that. But the story is fleshed out a lot better in the extra additional 30 minutes that they cut out. Oh, the Tenet trailer came out. New Tenet trailer came out yesterday. And it's Christopher Nolan's big way of just, like, making his stance on movie theaters. Like, hey, movie theaters are still a thing. We're going to keep... We're standing with our July release, and I respect that because at the end of the trailer it says coming to theater. So it's like that stance of like we're not pushing this to video on demand because he's really passionate about movie theaters, the movie theater experience and stuff like that. I like the trailer. You can definitely see how the studio is trying to hype up the trailer, making it theaters, get people excited about going to the theaters again, whether it's going to actually come out in theaters or not. I don't know. That's the tough part.
But not now, but...
It's in July. It's scheduled for July.
I have a feeling they're going to push it back to, like, November.
If things don't get better. But they're keeping their stance because now it's putting that pressure. It's keeping things... they're staying confident.
Yeah.
Because if they announce...
It's going to be hard for theaters, man.
Because what's going on is a lot of the studios are getting comfortable with the fact of, oh, just delay, release on video on demand. And they're starting to see, I think, Christopher Nolan's starting to see the problem. And he's starting to see, like, they're going to just give up on movie theaters, you know? So he's
Look
making
at
his stance.
What happened with Invisible Man and, was it Trolls or whatever?
A lot of movies, yeah.
Never, the AMC said they're not showing no more.
So he wants to make that stance in that stance for movie theaters. I really respect that, you know? Because
a lot of theaters kind of quit on theaters very easily.
Like, yeah.
A lot of these big companies.
In July, there's still some time from here to July where let's see where things go. You know, things are opening and the trailer was great. It's still very vague. There's more footage, but you still don't know what the story's about, which is always good because I never want to know a story about anything when I'm going in. I just want to especially with a movie like this, with Christopher Nolan, that I know I'm going to watch it regardless, you know. And the main actor, John David Washington, said that what he's doing with this movie could... change filmmaking and like set up filmmaking for the next 10 to 15 years. That's what he said, which is like what does this guy have planned, you know? Robert Pattinson said that it's mind-blowing what he does. He does say this is not time travel, like he's doing a whole other thing.
It's
here.
Like, was it reverse
inversion?
So
I don't know,
like,
what that, but they can like manipulate things to like reverse.
Like, when he shoots the bullet, it goes backward.
It's really
it goes
weird
back,
stuff.
Like,
yeah.
It loads back into the gun. You can tell it's very practical. Yeah. In the trailer, like, you can see the, like,
doesn't,
it's very,
feel heavy on CG, doesn't, like, which, like, I love.
Yeah. You see how they're driving? They're driving backwards. It's, yeah, everything is, like, backwards.
So it's going to be crazy. I'm really excited because, yeah, he said this could depict filmmaking for the next 10 to 15 years.
Robert Pattinson, I'm not going to be working out for, yeah, Batman.
And, yeah, we get more Robert Pattinson in this. It looks great.
Which when I heard him speak, I was like, oh. Because that's his character.
You think his character is going to be serious or something.
Yeah.
But then, there's a lot of humor in the trailer.
Yeah.
So that kind of threw us off a little bit. I was like,
oh. Yeah, because I don't know why. Because when I saw, okay, Robert Pattinson, I thought he was going to be this whole other different character. And when I see him speak, he's like, oh,
he's like the, like, charming, yeah, talkative guy. Yeah. And he does well. He's doing good.
Yeah.
I like the trailer, though. Again, didn't show too much. Yes, there's new footage and stuff, but I still don't know what the movie's about.
I'm not going to watch anymore, though.
Yeah, that's it. I'm done with trailers. I'm done with all that. I'm hoping it comes out in July. I'm glad that Christopher Nolan and the Warner Brothers did that, because it's just to make that stance of, hey, like, don't give up on movie theaters just yet, yeah, you know? And I'm really happy about that.
Quiet Place, we're supposed to see Quiet Place already.
Yeah, but yeah, they were just coming out in a terrible time. They would have bombed.
James Bond.
They would have bombed. You know.
I'm curious.
So I'm really excited for Tenet, man. That's a big movie. It's gonna be a big movie. It's his biggest. They're saying it's his most ambitious movie yet. And he's done some pretty fucking crazy movies. Like Inception. So far. Yeah. So.
For some reason they put it on Fortnite. I don't know why.
Whatever sells. Everything's on Fortnite.
People are like, why? Like, how a bunch of 8-year-olds supposed to know it? Tenet,
but you'll have those 8-year-olds going to see the movie, you know? That's what it's all about at the end of the day.
Yeah, but it's just Fortnite is really desperate.
Yeah.
They're really trying to...
Yeah, I know. But let's see, man.
Stay relevant.
Let's see. You know, Tenet is looking great. I'm really excited for that. I'm hoping things are better by then, because I want to see that in IMAX. But it's tough. It's a tough spot, you know? But the trailer was great. That's our episode for today. We really want to talk about this stuff. And yeah, guys, you know, thank you for watching. If you're watching us, if you're listening to us, thank you as always. Leave us a little review. If you want to comment on our comment section about what we just talked about today, if you guys disagree with us or agree with us, feel free to like and subscribe. We're going to keep doing this. We want to keep going. And thank you guys so much for listening, for watching, and till the next one.
Film and Everything Podcast. Till next time.